It's got a little bit ups and downs, but it does have a lot of twists in the story, and that's why maybe it's better not to reveal too much. But it begs serious issues, and for me, it was reminiscent a bit of the film we showed in 2019 that was called Shoplifters, and it was a Japanese movie about similar topic in a way. Quite different context. The switch from the so-called adoptive mother to the real parents is not a happy one. And it's not a happy one for obvious reasons, as the boy is toying with his identity. So that's what appeals to the LGBTQ plus community and fits in the topic of gender representations. Aspects of masculinities, which is the topic. And it really is about this boy who's 17. He's going to parties, he's living in Sao Paulo, he goes to school, and he's a little bit idiosyncratic. He plays in a band, he's very sociable, and he seems to have a happy life with his sister and his mother in a what you seem to be a modest home. And then we find that he is basically toying with his gender. He likes to play both aspects. Sometimes he acts as a boy, sometimes a man, sometimes he acts more like a woman because he likes to dress and in front of the mirror. Tries on the look of a woman. So we're introduced to this character who is searching for, aspects of himself and doesn't seem to bother his family. They don't really, they're kind of aware of it, but it's not an issue. Now, when suddenly he finds himself being followed by weird people who happen to be detectives that are actually on the lookout for him, because it seems like this mother is not his true mother, and she in fact stole him as a baby, and the real parents have been looking for him for 17 years, and finally they locate the detectives locate him, and he is being introduced to his real family, and basically loses his life. I mean, his life is turned upside down. And this is where issues start, because is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What about him? Nobody asks his point of view. And his mother, his basically his foster mother, whatever you want to call it, is seen as a demon thrown to prison. So I think this movie, it takes place in São Paulo. Today, and it really calls for questions like about tolerance, education, motherly love, what it means to be a parent, the question of foster parents versus biological parents. Are the biological parents necessarily the better parents? Because as we see in the movie, these are issues.
The structure of this film is kind of like that of a fairy tale. If you just take it at face value, a child who had been stolen from his or her real parents, brought up in modest means, is suddenly reunited with the birth parents into a life of more affluence. So that's one way that you would tell a fairy tale, but something tells me that Don't Call Me Son is probably something like the inverse of that, right?
Well, this is basically the question we are faced with. And in many ways, this is a bit reminiscent of another movie we showed a few semesters back. It happened to be a Japanese movie called Shoplifters, contemporary as well. And it showed a little more brutally, to start with, a similar situation of parents who are actually thieves, who in fact stolen kids and made their own family, and they seem to be very happy. And the message was they actually love these kids; they're not their own. Okay, they do a lot of bad things that teach them to be thieves, but in many ways, the issue was that their biological parents were actually pretty bad. And those so-called bad parents really love them. So we have to discuss these things.
And there's also the weight of expectations from the part of the biological parents who reunited with their child, probably have this child they've created in their minds that often does not mesh with the actual physical child.
That's another big question, is that parents have ideals for their children. And that applies no matter you're talking about children that have been stolen at birth or children who grew up with you. It's like there's something about seeing the person that you have created who's in your house for who they are and not who you want them to be. That's a good question.
A lot of times when we discuss a film, even if I haven't seen it, I get an idea in my mind of what it's going to look like, the cinematography, but I don't really have a sense of that for Don't Call Me Son. How would you describe the way the movie looks?
First of all, it's made by Ana Muirlart, who's Brazilian, a woman. And it's very intimate in the sense that it happens inside. I mean, there are scenes in the open air, of course, when he walks into school, goes to play with his band, but it's very much people, relations between people, very much like Shoplifters was. And so we get to see aspects of São Paulo, the life of young people, which happens to be the same as life of young people all over the world. And so we get to feel the relations between bonds that are created, and there's a lot of intimate conversation, interactions, actions that make us think and move the action actually along, and make a good, very good movie, in fact.
Is there anything you'd like listeners to know about Don't Call Me Son that we haven't discussed yet?
Maybe the translation of the title, in fact. As you know, often when foreign movies get a new title, it sometimes doesn't match at all the original one, and most of the time they don't. And this is the case in Portuguese, and I don't know how to pronounce it very much, but very well. But Mãe Sou Uma or something like that. A student of Portuguese, we do teach Portuguese in our department, told me it means there is only one.
Why not translate it to English as there is only one then?
That's a good question. But that's a question we can often ask about film titles. There is only one may really give us a better clue as to who is this one we're talking about.
Well, it sounds like this will be a very interesting and thought-provoking film. It's going to be Thursday and Saturday again this year.
Yes. We have so Thursday, Saturday, and I need to add that the Curris Center Theater, we're supposed to be in the Curris Center Theater for these 2 days, but they're having some repairs done. I don't know what it is exactly, but they told us we had to be in the Barclay Room for these 2 days. But doesn't make much difference. There's enough seating and respecting distance. In this place at the moment, given the COVID, we don't have a lot of spectators, but enough for anybody who wants to come along and watch this movie with us. And I must add that it's been prized. It got a Teddy Award for LGBT related movies.